Welcome to session 9 in the Biblical Doctrines of Civil Government. The year was 1550, and the city of Magdeburg, Germany, was under military siege by Emperor Charles V. The emperor had signed a document requiring all German cities to adopt Roman Catholic practices and theology. The Protestant pastors in Magdeburg wrote a treatise explaining their moral justification for defying the orders of the emperor. But the Bible teaches that lower magistrates, city officials, have the right and the duty to oppose with force any unjust or immoral law passed by higher authority. And that God calls lower magistrates, those who are also given the power of the sword, to serve as a check on higher unjust magistrates, kings and emperors. This became known as the Magdeburg Confession and the doctrine of lesser or lower magistrates. And as the confession explains, this is not some new teaching, but this has been implicitly understood in Scripture throughout church history. 30 years earlier, even Martin Luther had been saved from death by the doctrine of lesser magistrates. When the Saxon princes, Friedrich the Wise and John the Constant, protected him from the authorities of the Holy Roman Empire and the Emperor Charles V. Now, in our previous session, we discussed civil disobedience in regard to the private citizen. And according to Romans 13, citizens are to subject themselves to the governing authorities. Romans 13, 1, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. The only exception to this would be if the state requires citizens to violate God's law. Then God's law trumps man's law. As the apostles taught in Acts chapter 5, when the Sanhedrin commanded them not to teach any longer in the name of Christ, they responded, "We must obey God rather than men." Lesser magistrates, mayors, governors, police officers, also have that same responsibility to personally disobey orders that conflict with the laws of God. But being also called into the position of a Romans 13 governing authority, given the power of the sword to be an avenger against those who practice evil, lower magistrates can and must do what private citizens are not called to do: use force to resist or overthrow unjust higher authority. This is the doctrine of the lesser or lower magistrates. John Calvin, in his treatise on civil government, also touched on this doctrine. Section 31, quote, "Let us guard most carefully against spurning or violating the venerable and majestic authority of rulers, an authority which God has sanctioned by the surest edicts, although those invested with authority should be most unworthy of it. Although the Lord takes vengeance on unbridled dominion, let us not therefore suppose that vengeance is committed to us, to whom no command has been given but to obey and suffer. But I speak only of private men." And here Calvin is speaking only about average citizens. But he continues, "Popular magistrates," meaning other magistrates, lower magistrates, "have been appointed to curb the tyranny of kings. I do not forbid these officials to check the undue license of kings, that if they plot to oppose kings when they tyrannize and insult over the humbler of the people." So this is why Dietrich Bonhoeffer considered it just to be involved in a plot to assassinate Hitler, because it was being undertaken by German army officers, kind of like a government in exile. And this is why Christians didn't seriously oppose the Revolutionary War in 1776, because even though this was rebellion against King George, it was being undertaken by lower magistrates, colonial governors. In the United States, we have had two major instances where the doctrines of lesser magistrates was put into practice: the Revolutionary War and the Civil War. Nations can be called of God to fight against other nations in just wars, putting a check on evil rulers, and states within a country can be called of God to fight against other states for righteousness' sake. One of the key scriptures in this regard is Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 8. If you see the oppression of poor and the denial of justice and righteousness in the province, do not be shocked at the sight, for one official watches over another official, and there are higher officials over them. To watch over means to hold accountable. And the point of this text is that we should not feel frustrated or despondent over evil government, because God will take it down. And one means God uses is other officials, as we see so often in Scripture. So let's take a moment and look at some examples in Scripture where this doctrine is seen in practice. In 2 Kings chapter 11, King Ahaziah of southern Israel dies in battle. His mother, the wicked king Athaliah, then puts to death all of the heirs to the throne and makes herself the ruler of southern Israel. But after a six-year reign, a group of Israeli army officers led by the priest Jehoiada organizes a coup against her. And the entire chapter explains how this was organized by Jehoiada in such a way that the supporters of Athaliah could not start a civil war. Of course, when Athaliah saw what was happening, she cried treason. Was she right? Was this treason? From all indication, she was the treasonous one. She was the illegitimate authority. And God had decreed her demise by the hand of lower magistrates. In northern Israel, there were at least 9 changes in government by the actions of lower magistrates, and most of these overthrows appeared to be sanctioned by God. The first government was that of Rehoboam, where God himself called Jeroboam to rebel against the reign of King Rehoboam. God called Jeroboam to split Israel into two countries. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 29, the prophet Ahijah met with Jeroboam, and he took his coat and ripped it into 12 pieces and gave 10 to Jeroboam. He said to Jeroboam, "Take for yourself 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and give you 10 tribes." So Jeroboam, who is a former commander in Solomon's army, was called of God to rebel against established authority. But then the dynasty of Jeroboam became corrupt and was overthrown in a bloody insurrection by Baasha of the tribe of Issachar. And this was of God. 1 Kings 14, 14, "Moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who will cut off the house of Jeroboam this day and from now on." Now, we question whether Baasha was personally acting in righteousness to overthrow the house of Jeroboam, or was this one of those cases where God uses evil to punish evil? Well, in 2 Kings, or 1 Kings, chapter 16, verse 2, God eventually judges Baasha, but not for taking down the house of Jeroboam, but for continuing to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. Then God raised up Zimri, a commander of the chariots, to remove the house of Baasha, but Zimri didn't have the support of the people. The people instead chose another commander, Omri, to be their king. His son would be King Ahab, married to Jezebel. The house of Omri would become wicked. And so God would send the prophet Elijah to anoint Jehu, a commander of the army, to overthrow the government of Ahab. Ahab was a previous established authority, but God overthrew that authority by ordaining new authority. And there are many other examples of civil leaders in Israel being removed by lower magistrates by God's calling. Now let's look at the book of Judges. Earlier in Israel's history, these judges were not lower magistrates, they were private citizens, but nevertheless, they were directly called by God into the office of governing authority. for the purpose of overthrowing the current governing authorities. The book of Judges is all about God raising up civil leaders to challenge the authority of foreign governments ruling over the Jewish people. Men such as Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah and Barak, Gideon, Jephthah, Samson. They all worked to overthrow either the rule of the Canaanites, or the Midianites, or the Moabites, or the Philistines who invaded Israel. But we say, of course, that kind of government overthrow is justified since these governments were foreign invaders. Certainly any Israeli would have the right to overthrow these governments. But no, these foreign rulers were authorities established by God over the Jewish people. In the book of Judges, we read that God raised up these foreign kings, that God sold them into the hands of these nations. Just like God would someday raise up the foreign nation Babylon to rule over the Jews for 70 years. And woe be to anyone who tried to overthrow the rule of Babylon prematurely. Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 7, all nations shall serve him, King Nebuchadnezzar. It will be that the nation, the kingdom, which will not serve him, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, I will punish that nation with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, declares the Lord, until I have destroyed it by his hand. But Nebuchadnezzar was a foreign invader, yet God would not have him overthrown. However, the false prophets in Jeremiah's day were teaching that the Jews must fight and rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. They were probably using the book of Judges as an example. But even in the book of Judges, it was God who placed over Israel these foreign governments, and they were to submit to them until God raised up a deliverer. For example, Judges chapter 13, verse 1, now the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, so that the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. I suspect that there were probably many Jews who tried to overthrow the Philistines during that 40-year period. Just like the Zealots in Jesus' day thought it was their duty to overthrow the Roman occupation. But only the people who could legitimately, in the sight of God, overthrow these foreign rulers without incurring the condemnation of God were those called of God, the judges. And the people at that time needed to repent and pray and wait upon God to raise up a deliverer. And God expected the people to have the spiritual aptitude to recognize the one called of God when the time came. So what we're learning here is that God does raise up lower magistrates, even private citizens, to whom God grants special civil authority to take down evil rulers. We're not seeing a world in which evil authority may never be touched, as if God will only take them down by natural causes. No, God does call certain righteous men to physically fight against evil rulers. And through this, God tests the people's faith and their righteousness, and also that of the judge. Notice the spiritual commendation of the judges in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, Hebrews 11:32. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness. So they were not unjust in overthrowing these governments. Obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, putting foreign armies to flight. But notice, as the text continues, these righteous men, in their God-called battle against evil, weren't always successful, as far as this world is concerned. The text reads, some became mighty in war, putting foreign armies to flight, but others experienced mockings and scourgings. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Even the judges didn't accomplish all they could have accomplished because of the unbelief of the people. As in the case of Jesus, Matthew chapter 13, he didn't do many miracles there because of their unbelief. So the calling of God on these men and the righteousness of their endeavor is never to be judged merely by earthly success, as if only the winner gets to write the history and be the hero. On the contrary, God sometimes lets his righteous deliverer be rejected by the people, even as in the case of Christ, being put on the cross. Here's the big lesson. When it comes to lower magistrates taking out evil higher authority, the sanction comes only by the calling of God. But the big question we all have is, how do we know who's called of God? And how do we know when it's time? Because anyone could claim to be called of God, and there have been many false civic leaders throughout history playing on such claims. Now, in the Old Testament, discerning the leader called of God seemed to be much easier because there was often the anointing of the next ruler by the prophet of Jehovah. That is, if one recognizes who were the true prophets. Or as in the case of some judges, the judges would actually hear the voice of God confirming their call. But in most cases, the people are expected to use spiritual wisdom and righteous discernment, and then expected to gather around and support the man raised up by God to bring in a righteous government. You know, I can't emphasize enough that we better make sure we're called of God and we're involved in a righteous endeavor before we ever work to overthrow established governing authorities, or even if you're running for office to take out an incumbent. Most resistance and overthrow of government flows out of self-centered ambition and a false sense of superior values. And the rebel may even win, but only for God's purpose of bringing condemnation on that leader and upon the nation. King David wouldn't overthrow King Saul because he knew Saul was still God's established king. 1 Samuel 26, but David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be without guilt?" But in Judges chapter 3, Ehud had the sanction of God and the confidence to assassinate Eglon, king of Moab. So there are very few hard and fast rules that apply in every circumstance. My understanding is that God expects us to walk with him and be led by the Holy Spirit and the Word as each circumstance arises. But we better get it right. Romans chapter 13, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. The southern states rose up against the authority of the federal government in order to maintain the institution of slavery. Many in the south supported the war merely because of the principle of states' rights. Since the states opted into the Constitution and the federal government, they should have the authority to opt out. Otherwise, there's no check on federal tyranny. Not being allowed to secede from the Union sets a bad precedent. But is maintaining antebellum slavery an institution that clearly violates the 7-year Old Testament limitation on indentured servanthood the sword we want to fall on to defend state rights? Was Jefferson Davis and the other Southern governors acting like Old Testament judges, called of God to war against the Northern states? Now, Jefferson Davis could have been called of God, just like evil Assyria was called of God to punish Israel for her sins. God uses evil men with their evil ambition to judge other evil men. But the question I'm asking is, was Jefferson Davis and all of these other governors in the perfect will of God for their blessing? The only way to discern this is by looking to the moral law of God. The standard as to whether someone's calling is real is not the degree of faith or confidence or the possibility of success, but whether or not the moral law of God is being followed in the endeavor. Now back to the book of Judges. There are many lessons contained within in regard to the doctrine of lesser magistrates. For example, Gideon puts out a fleece to make sure he was called of God in overthrowing civil authorities. You don't want your theology wrong in that. Also, Gideon was first called of God to take down the altar of Baal set up by the Midianites. The ideology must be taken down, not just the leadership. And there are many more lessons contained in the book of Judges, which I will leave you to search out. But a universal lesson I want to conclude with is that when Gideon took down the altar of Baal, Gideon's fellow Jews wanted to kill Gideon because they were afraid of the retaliation of the Midianites. There are many people, often the majority, who do not have the courage, do not have the faith, do not have the desire for a righteous government, and therefore they fail to recognize the leader raised up by God to be their deliverer. Remember Moses. He killed an Egyptian abusing a Hebrew slave. As a lower magistrate, Moses had that authority. But Moses' own people, the Jews, weren't spiritually minded enough to recognize that Moses was called of God to be their deliverer. And they weren't looking for a righteous deliverer as they should. And this was Stephen's point in a sermon to the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 7, verse 25. And he, Moses, supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand. Verse 35, this Moses whom they disowned, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge, is the one whom God sent to be both a ruler and a deliverer. Stephen's point is that that same lack of discernment and lack of righteousness was again being repeated when the nation rejected Jesus as their Messiah. So in this doctrine of lower magistrates, first, a whole lot can be said about the responsibility of the people to recognize and support righteous leadership. And second, in this doctrine of lesser magistrates, we must recognize that lesser magistrates have a duty to oppose evil higher magistrates. It's not an option. Lower magistrates will be judged by God if they fail in their duty to use their civil power to stop evil higher authorities. When the federal government, through the Supreme Court, legalized abortion and homosexual marriage, if conservative states would have sent an amicus brief to the Supreme Court threatening legal proceedings to secede from the Union, you could be sure that the Supreme Court would have backed down on both of those rulings. But while in 1860, 11 governors were willing to secede over maintaining slavery, in 1973, no governors were willing to risk their position to prevent the murder of the unborn. And in 2003, no governor or state legislature were willing to stand against the legalization of homosexuality. And in 2015, no state was willing to stand against same-sex marriage. God will hold those lower magistrates accountable for not resisting and opposing the unjust laws of higher authorities. Following World War II in the Nuremberg trials, the defendants, the German military officers and officials, could not use as an excuse, I was just obeying the orders of my superiors. Because even the judges at that time recognized that the lower magistrates were morally obligated to follow God's higher moral law and in disobedience to higher magistrates. Being called of God to be a Romans chapter 13 governing authority is a great privilege, but it also comes with great accountability before God. God will hold the rulers of this earth to a higher standard of accountability. Psalm chapter 2, verse 10, therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. May Jesus Christ reign.